الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are with Yusuf Dadabhai in his farm in Andhaval, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him for his hospitality and his children, and make his dreams for this place come true, inshallah. One of the most beautiful places that I have visited in my life. We saw some fabulous sunsets yesterday. I'm going to post a couple of those pictures on this recording as well. My brothers and sisters, we have in the course of the past few days, we've had many conversations about the difficulties that face the world at large and those that face the Muslim Ummah, the Muslims in particular, in South Africa, in India, in the United States, in Europe, and different parts of the world. And I've been thinking and reflecting on that and trying to make sense of what is happening out of the Quran and Sunnah, which is the framework for us to think in. And in that context, I sent out a list of four things that I believe we need to do if we want to get out of our situations. And I think many of you saw that, and you also, some of you commented on it, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, starting from this one, I will do a series of Fajr reminders explaining those four things. Just to list them, I think the four critical things that we need today. The first one is the ability to look at ourselves critically. The ability to look at ourselves critically. The second one is the ability to accept the need for radical change. The ability to accept the need for radical change. Third one is willingness to invest time, emotion, energy, and resources in that change. The willingness to invest time, emotion, energy, and resources in that change. And the fourth one is the willingness to stay with the change process until the change happens, no matter how long that takes. I think these are the four things that are critically required today to get us out of this mess. So let us look at the first one. The ability to look at ourselves critically. And by ourselves here, I mean ourselves individually as well as ourselves collectively. And by collectively, I mean starting with the most basic collective unit, which is the family. And then going outside the family into our circle of friends and influence, circle of influence. Going into our organizations, our jamaats, our whatever, you know, organizations we have, looking then also at the collectives at a greater level, national level, and then of course globally. And the reason for to do this step by step is because usual tendency is the moment we talk about looking at ourselves critically, the usual tendency of us as Muslims is to immediately jump to the global picture. And then we say, the king of Saudi Arabia should do such and such, and so and so should do such and such. That's a very foolish way, and also I think it's an escape mechanism that we do, which takes us away from actual action which will benefit us. And the actual action is, what can I do? What can I do to myself, in myself? What can I do in my family? What can I do with the people on whom I have direct influence? People who know me, who I can talk to, who talk to me, who listen to me. My employees, my employers, my organization, my company, my association, and so on and so on. That is where actual action must happen. And if that actual action happens, then obviously globally also it will be there. But if you simply sit and say, you know, this is what I think you should do. This is another bimari that we have, you know, another evil illness. We always tell people what we think they should do, instead of looking at ourselves and saying, what should I do? Because at the end of the day, it's only what I do which matters. So I remind myself and you, let us look at ourselves critically and say, what is it that I need to do as an individual, and what is it that I need to do in my circle of influence. The reason I'm saying this, and I begin with this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ar-Rum, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the fasad, the trials and tribulations, the difficulties, calamities, and so on and so forth, on the sea and the land, are the result of the actions that people do. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Actions that come from the hands of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear to us that whatever is happening to us, whether it is the leaders that are oppressing us, whether it is our own friends and relatives, whether it is communities and countries, whether we are the objects of discrimination and oppression, whatever is happening to us is the result of our own actions. Now, I'm not saying this is the result of the actions of the Muslim Ummah alone. This is an ayat which is addressed to all of humankind. So it is the actions of all people, but the Muslim Ummah bears a special responsibility because of who we are and why Allah sent us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people. You have been extracted for the benefit of people. You have been selected to benefit people. So therefore, we have a special responsibility, which doesn't simply end with lining our own nests, but it extends to helping other people in this world to succeed in the dunya wal akhirah. So therefore, we have a special responsibility. So the root of all our problems is our own actions. And this is something which we have to look at. That's why I said it all begins with being able to look at ourselves critically. It is not easy, I know, because of some of the things that we do. May Allah protect us. But we, for example, one of the major problems that we have is our own infighting amongst ourselves. And the root cause of that is our own egos. Our organizations are breaking apart. They are splitting because our leaders at the topmost level of the organization cannot see eye to eye with each other on matters. They cannot resolve differences between themselves. They do not have the maturity to sit down and resolve conflicts between themselves. They do not have the maturity to seek assistance from others to help them resolve that conflict, and they allow an organization to split and to remain split. This is our reality. I mean, whether we like to see it or not, no matter how ugly it is, that is our reality. Our reality also is that we are people who do not appreciate the good that comes to us from anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hal jaza'u lihsan illa lihsan. Allah said, what can be the jaza, the reward of ihsan, except ihsan? But we revert and we return ihsan with betrayal. We are people who do not stand for justice. Injustice can happen before our own eyes, but we will not stand up and stand for that injustice. We will not stand up there. For example, take the many instances where Muslim women were attacked for wearing hijabs. This happened in Australia, it happened in America, it happened in different places. But what was the response of other people? The Christians, the Jews, other people, they stood up for the Muslim women. They spoke out for the Muslim women. They took action to protect the Muslim women. What did Muslim men do? What do Muslim men do, for example, in India, or Muslims as a whole, what do we do when injustice happens to Dalits? And it's been happening for thousands of years, not only, it's for centuries that's been going on. What have Muslims done when things happen to other people other than ourselves? It is true, we make a noise about what's happening to us in different places, in Palestine and so on. But what about what is happening to people generally? How many times have Muslims stood up and hit the road because we are fighting against poverty? We are fighting against discrimination. We are fighting. When have you seen this happening? Now, the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to benefit others. Instead of benefiting others, we harm others. Now, I'm not saying if this applies to all Muslims. There are good people, alhamdulillah. But exceptions prove the rule. As a rule, this is what is happening. At a global level, same thing. Our countries, so-called Muslim countries, their actions and so on and so forth, all this is before us. Critically looking out at ourselves is not easy. It is not pleasant. It is nasty because that is what the reality is. Now, why must we do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that our conditions are a result of our actions. What is the solution for that? This also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very, very clearly to us. The solution for that, for this, is to make tawbah. Sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا وَيُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very clearly in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuh alayhi salam said to the people, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. The key here is sincerity. And let me remind myself and you, we cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have become so used to fooling each other and fooling ourselves, and we have all these great images about how we are so good and so this and so that, and we look at it, the reality is ugly. But we cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts. So with sincerity, we need to make tawbah. We need to make tawbah individually, and we need to make tawbah collectively. Now, like in the case of Yunus alayhi salam, his people went out to make tawbah collectively, which stopped the adab, which was otherwise they would have been engulfed with this adab. So collectively we need to make tawbah. Yes, we must read Qunut Nazila and so on, and ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before Qunut Nazila, I believe we as an ummah have to make tawbah. So let us gather together and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, we have betrayed you. We have not done what you sent us to do. And we now make this sincere tawbah to you, and we will change our life. So I think this is very important. It starts with tawbah. We need to make tawbah. We need to look at ourselves and say, this is what I have been doing. I don't think we need to look very far. We have enough evidence in our own lives. May Allah protect us from ourselves, where we have done all of this and more. I don't want to go into a list and litany of all the stuff that we do. I think we know this better than anybody else. So I'm going to leave you to think about it yourself. But to make tawbah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu with sincerity. We need to get over our egos. We need to learn to work together. We need to deal with conflict in a way which is productive and positive and not destructive. We need to think long term, not immediately short term, simply satisfying and just living with our own self-gratification, instead of looking ahead and saying, what is it that I need to do which is of long term benefit? We need to be able to invest in things of long term benefit and so on. But all of this comes later, inshallah, we'll talk about that. But right now, I think what I want to remind myself and you is, let us accept the fact that our difficulties are our own creation. This is not my fatwa, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. And Allah said that we bring this difficulty so that you may get a taste of the punishment which you will otherwise get if you don't turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيُذِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they may turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we need to be very clear in our minds. Accept this fact, because this is the kalam of Allah, this is the Quran, and then make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, this is what they did. They accepted the fact that they were wrong. They accepted the fact that the shirk and all of the difficulties, that they, all of the corruption that was there in Makkah society was wrong. And they made tawbah and they came into Islam. They accepted Islam. And when they accepted Islam, what distinguished them was that they completely separated themselves from their previous lives. This does not mean that they became enemies of their parents and families. No, they just changed their lives. Whatever they used to do before, they stopped doing. And they just stopped doing just like that. Katak. You know, there's no gradual change. They stop. They said, this is wrong. I know it is wrong. From tomorrow, I will not do it. Khalas. From today, I will not do it. From the moment I realize, I will not do it. I make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make amends with whoever I have harmed, and that's it, and I will change my life. And they change their lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore then changed their conditions and took them from where they were to a state of power and authority and so on. I think this is, we have enough guidance in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sunnah and seerah of his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us and for all of mankind till the day of judgment. It only remains for us to accept this guidance and to live and work on this guidance. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help, for His mercy and for His forgiveness for myself and for all of you. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.